So we started a new series last week, and I'm not sure that we had a title for it yet, but I think we're going to call it Anchored. Everybody say Anchored. Anchor is not a bad thing, and anchor is a good thing. Because what it does is it it keeps you from a lot of times it just keeps you in a spot that you want to be. So there's a really good fishing spot, and you found it. And what you don't want to do is you don't want to leave it. You don't want to float.
Thank you, sir.
You don't want to float away from it. Does this make sense?
Yes, sir.
So when I lived in Newport Beach and I surfed almost every day, a lot of times, especially when the surf was big, I'd go into the water at 36th Street, and by the time I was done surfing, I'd be at 58th Street.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. Yeah, that's funny. It didn't have really anything to do with that, but it has to do with you just start to drift, and the current starts to drift. What an anchor will do is an anchor will, which if you're surfing, that's not a big deal, but if you're fishing, that's a big deal, because you have found, you know, a lot of times now they have these, you know, it's not like back in the day, but now they have these radar things where you can find the cool fishing places, you know what I mean? And so you find them, and then what you do is you throw that anchor down because you don't want to drift from that. That's the spot that you want to be in. Does this make sense? And then other times, an anchor, it's not just a fishing spot. It's an anchor will save you. Because you want to be in a safe place. So you'll throw your anchor because you're in a safe space. And there's these spaces over here or over there. And the weather's not the same. And if you don't recognize that and throw that anchor over. But once you do, you're in a good position. Because what that anchor does is it keeps you from getting out of position. Does that make sense? So we have some core values that anchor this church in staying on purpose. And the purposes that this church is here for, they're not just Tamara and I and Pastor Paul and Pastor Vegas and George and Joanne and some of the leaders of the church, you know what, the intern's getting better, and say, hey, you know what? What y'all think we ought to do today? Or what do you think this church should be about? You know what I mean? Or no. It's about people that have been praying for years and years and years and years, and we start to hear very clearly what this church should be about. A lot of these core values that we're going to teach on for the next several weeks, I didn't even come up with them. We recognize them. So let me give you, for instance, kids and youth are not secondary, they're primary. Well, when I came up with that, and I did come up with that. When I came up with that, there was Shayla, she was 3. There was Tyler, he was nothing. I mean, he was something, but he was in, Tamara's stomach. So, but that was it. And we didn't come up with that. We recognized it. You say, how do you recognize that, and you didn't even have any kids. You didn't even have any youth in the spirit. And years later, when we had some kids, I saw a picture of one of the original pictures of the church. And it's an amazing picture. Matter of fact, I should have had it for you to see it. But it's an amazing picture, because in this picture, there's about 100 people in the church. But what's really freaky in this picture, and it is really freaky, is about 75% of the people that are taking this picture in the church are youth and kids. Yeah, wow. I'm telling you, it's a freaky, you just like look at it and go, oh my goodness, this was a church just full of kids and full of youth. It's like, where are all the parents? And there were parents, but I'm telling you what, there was a, so do you understand what I'm saying? All Tamara and I are doing, and the leadership in many times, is we're just recognizing the purpose, the God-given purpose for this church, and our responsibility to continue that purpose. Are we together? Okay. So, we talked last week about the importance of principles and how we need to live life that's principled. So, we're not just doing whatever we feel like doing. We're seeing things in the Word of God, and we're following the Word of God, which, again, keeps us very, very safe. But we're jumping off today, and we are going to start in teaching some of the core values that we have. And the first core value that I want to talk about is we value people who are not in the family of God. Hello. Yeah, we need to get a way bigger amen for that. Okay, I'll give another chance. We value the people that right now are not in the family of God. Right? They're not in the family of God yet, but we value them. See, this is absolutely critical as a church that we would value people that are not in the family of God. You say, Pastor, I thought everybody was in the family of God. Because Pastor, you know that we're all, hallelujah, children of God. No, we're not. No, we're not. And we get used to just saying amen to anything. You know, oh, you're all children of God. Amen. No, not amen. Why? Because that's not true. We're not all. Watch this. If we were all, I'll prove it to you. If we were all in God's family, then why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Right? Right, Steve? Why would he have to do that? No. Here's why he died on the cross. Because there needed to be a covering of our sin. And so, Adam and Eve, they blew it. They blew it. And because they blew it, then there was imperfection that was given to Adam and Eve's children, and their children, and their children, and their children, and their children. And then one day, you were born. Amen? Amen? And you were born, the Bible says, of corruptible seed. You know what that means? Let me interpret what that means. That means that a 2-year-old's first word is very likely going to be mine. Right? See, you don't have to teach a 3-year-old to be rebellious. Yeah, some of you 3-year-olds are smiling right now. Or those who've had 3-year-olds, remember, you know what I mean? You're like, yeah, you know what? So the 3-year-old is yeah, 5-year-old, thank you. Yeah, 8-year-old. We could go on, but you got it, okay? 12-year-old. Amen. Okay, whoa, stop here. Okay. So all I'm saying is, you know what? That 3-year-old is coming up on the stage because, you know what? they are going to, you know what, play some rock and roll, right? And you're like, you can't do that. Get off the stage. You know, don't get, you know, get down from there. And that little angel looks. And then what does that little angel do? No, not keeps going. He does. He or she does keep going. But what do they keep on going at the same pace? No, they start going at a faster pace. Do they not? Come on, am I speaking the truth? You're like, unbelievable. Why are they going at a faster pace? Because they figure in their lightning fast mind, I got to jam to get to that guitar before you get to me. Is this not true? What is that? Let me tell you what that is. That is incorruptible. That is proof of corruptible seed. Is that not right? And I could go on and give you example after example after example, but everyone knows that that's true. Everyone has seen that in, if you have kids, everyone has seen that in our kids, and everyone has experienced that in your own life. Is this not right? So, Jesus Christ had to come to redeem us back to family. You know what? The guy says, how do you come into the family of God? Jesus says, you must be born again. See, you are right now, I mean, if you don't have Christ in your heart, you're born in the flesh. And if you're born in the flesh, the Bible says, we'll look at it in a minute, you're of corruptible seed, and there's going to be a consequence. You won't be able to be with God forever because he's a holy God and you're not holy. So there's a problem. What's the problem? Sin. So what do we have to do? Jesus had to come and die on the cross, take all your sin on him, and now all you have to do is just accept Jesus in your heart. Amen. Pretty simple. You said, but Pastor, that doesn't make any sense. if God knew that Adam and Eve were going to sin, did God know? Did God know? Yes. He knew. If God knew that Adam and Eve received sin, how come he put that tree in the middle of the garden? Well, let me just remind you, you know what I mean? Number one, do not judge God. You start to judge God and you get into some bad place. Amen? But let me just, and I've said this to you before, it's a great illustration, but it illustrates my point. Here's why. Because you want a relationship. You know, I wasn't feeling good this morning. Didn't have the best night last night. So I'm just in bed, and my wife gets in bed with me, and she just starts rubbing my back. I'm like, oh, man, I don't feel good, but I feel good. Right? Right? Matter of fact, I was so bummed that I didn't feel good because it felt so good. What's my point? My point is, we have been made in the image of God. God, here, you know, so you're vacuuming. And that vacuum, you just bought a brand new vacuum. That vacuum is jamming, you know what I mean? It's sucking up everything. You know what? Your carpet has never looked so good. And you're all done vacuuming, and you turn it off, and then you just get down. It's one of those, and you just get down, and you start to hug it. Man, I love you, vacuum cleaner. My carpet never looked so good. I love you, man. You vacuumed good today. I mean it. Love you. Okay. You never did that. If you did that, we need to talk after, okay? Here's why. That's the same reason God put that tree in the middle of the garden. And before you judge God, understand, God said, you can eat of all these trees. All these trees. One I don't want you to eat of. What's my point? My point is, then he sends Jesus Christ to redeem us. And now, we have a choice just like Adam and Eve had a choice. What do we have to do? All we have to do is accept Jesus Christ in our hearts. All we have to do is not, listen, all we have to do is recognize we need a Savior. You know what that takes? It takes humility. It takes humility to turn to God and say, God, I'm really all jacked up. I need you. I can't do this without you. I don't want to do this without you. I love you, and I want you to come in my life and help fix the dysfunction that I am. Hello? So why doesn't everybody do that? Or let me say this. If you don't do that, if you don't do that, let me just theologically show it to you. John 3:15. We'll just look at it up on the screen. John 3:15. That whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. Watch this. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Why did he do it? Because he loved the world so much, the world needed a fix. The world, you and I needed someone. We needed a lamb, a perfect lamb, to take away our sins. That's why he did it, because he loved us so much. That whoever believes in him, whoever believes in him, I don't care. God is not a respecter of persons. He doesn't care. You know what? He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't have, you know what? The world has these, you know what? Well, you're like this, and we're like this, and you're like this. And in certain parts of the country or certain parts of the world, you know, we'll say, well, this color is the most important. But then over there in this part of the world, we'll say, no, that color is most important. Or that economics is that most important. Or that shape is that most important. Or whatever we come up with. But with God, it's not like that. Can I tell you why? Because he loves you. Amen. He made you black. I'm just saying, amen. He made you Hispanic. He made you white. He likes the color of your hair, amen. Pastor, I don't have any hair. All right, well, he likes that too. Amen. See, you know, bald men have style. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. You know, God, you know what? You wake up in the morning and you go, some of you go, oh, you know what I mean? God doesn't do that. You wake in the morning, God looks and says, man, you looking fine today. Amen. You can say amen to this. What am I saying? Here's what I'm saying. God made you the way you are because he likes variety. He doesn't care. He likes you the way you are. And whoever believes in him should not perish. Whoever believes in him. That's not everybody. That's whoever believes in him. See, this is good teaching. No, everybody's in the family of God. No, they're not. Whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. Oh, because God is mad at some people and he's sending people to hell. No, he's not. Look at the next verse. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world. Jesus wasn't there condemning people. Jesus and God recognized, you're all condemned already. I'm here to restore you back to what Adam and Eve had before they fell. And all you have to do is accept that I died on the cross. Put me in your heart and start making me the one who you follow. Amen. Become a follower of Christ. But that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came. But watch verse 18. Very important. He who believes in him is not condemned. Let's say that together. He who believes in him is not condemned. Say it again. He who believes in him is not condemned. Who's not condemned? He who believes in him. Do you believe in him? Then you're not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the Holy Begotten Son of God. Our daily Bible reading. Follow me. Stay with me. You gotta follow me here, because I'm gonna do some teaching here. Okay? Are you guys with me?
Yes.
Don't start thinking about burritos right now, okay? So, Pastor, you shouldn't have said that. I wasn't even thinking about it. Now you got me on that. Don't blame me, amen. All right. Stay with me here, because this is good. Our daily Bible reading, Matthew chapter 2, we just read it, and Matthew is trying to convince Jewish people that Jesus is the Messiah. You know how he's doing it? He's bringing up Old Testament prophets that prophesied some things that nobody knew. And then Jesus did those things. Hello? What were they? Well, you know, because you just read it. One of the things were that Jesus would be born from a virgin. Okay. But another very specific thing right there in chapter 2 was that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem. Do you remember this? So some Old Testament Jewish prophet said the Messiah is going to be born in Bethlehem. And then, again in Matthew, he says, oh, and that Messiah is going to be exiled to where? To Egypt. Another prophet prophesied that. And watch this. And then in another prophecy, it was prophesied that Messiah would come back from Egypt, but he wouldn't go back to Bethlehem. He'd go to where? All right, good. You read your Bible reading, right? You say, Pastor, what's your point? Here's my point. And there are some people who are Jewish, like Jonathan Kahn, who believe that Jesus is their Messiah. Amen? There's a lot of Jews now that are coming to accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. All I'm saying, he who believes in him is not condemned. That's all I'm saying. So watch this. So how in the world could someone who knows the prophets, I learned this recently because I didn't know. I knew the Torah, Matthew, Mark, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I knew that was very, very holy books for Jewish people. And I thought that all the Old Testament was holy books for them, but I didn't know for sure. So I talked to a Jewish rabbi yesterday, and he told me that no, all the books of the Bible in the Old Testament are authoritative and seen as the Word of God. Well, I'm thinking, if that is true, then how come you didn't believe Isaiah when Isaiah says that the Messiah is going to be born a virgin? You know what this rabbi told me? He said, no, the Messiah is coming, but the Messiah will not be born a virgin. The Messiah is going to be born just like you and I, from a physical man and a physical woman. I didn't know that. I didn't know they believed that. I'm thinking, why don't you believe the prophet Isaiah? Then I'm thinking, how in the world? Why didn't you believe Micah? Why didn't you believe Hosea and all these other prophets that Matthew is prophesying and saying, look, can't you tell the Messiah is Jesus? This is a good question, is it not? So, Pastor, how come they don't believe? Here's why. It's deep. Are you ready? Because they don't want to believe. They don't want to believe. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And I know the Bible says that there's a veil that's put over them that's going to be lifted. I know the Bible says that. But the Bible also talks about the choices that they made. Read your Bible. It's all throughout the Old Testament. That they made a decision. And you and I are still making the decisions. See, all I'm telling you is there's all these people out in the world that are not in the family of God. And this church is committed to teach those people the uncompromised word of God, that they could come and recognize, hey, I need help. Why? Because we value them. We value them. We care about them. Has anybody heard of the Big Bang Theory? Raise your hand if you heard of the Big Bang Theory. Okay, I have sad news for you if you believe in the Big Bang Theory. I'm listening to this guy yesterday, PBS, you know what I mean? And this guy talks with a English accent and can say all these fancy words. But listen, I'm not the most educated person, but I'm listening to what he says, and here's one of the things, it's a true story. You know what? He's talking about the Big Bang Theory, and he's saying, here's what happens. We dial it back. We take, a theory of, forget what theory it is, but we take this theory, and Einstein's theory of relativity, and we dial it back. And we dial it back, 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 and it makes totally sense. It makes a lot of sense what's going on. We how many know you can't prove this in any laboratory? You know what the scientific method is? Scientific method says that you have to be able to observe it and reproduce it. Amen. So he says, we dial it back, we dial it back, we dial it back, we dial it back, we dial it back. This is just all theory. Up to a certain point, and here's what he says. And it all makes sense to us until right before the thing goes bang. And right before it goes bang, he says, things get really weird. Things get really weird. Now, I looked up, I asked Siri, here, I'll show it to you. Watch this. Okay, let's just ask Siri what weird is, okay? You ready? What does weird mean? What does weird mean?
As an adjective, it means suggesting something supernatural, uncanny. There are two more, if you'd like them.
Let me give it to you again. Be real quiet. What does weird mean?
As an adjective, it means suggesting something supernatural, uncanny. There are two more, if you'd like them.
I'm sitting there on my desk yesterday, and I think, oh, you know what? What's he say? Because he says, at this point, it starts to get really weird. And I think, what is really weird? I thought, let me ask Siri what weird means. And Siri tells me, you know what? Weird is something uncanny or supernatural. Amen. I'm not lying to you. I wish I could show it to you, but I don't have time. But listen, here's what he says. at this point in time, I'm telling you the truth, and he's totally serious, and he thinks he's totally so smart. But he says this, at this point in time, we have to throw physics out the window. I'm like,
what?
You have to, at that point in time, you have to throw physics out the window? Can I tell you what? Look it up. The Big Bang will become the Earth is flat pretty soon. It's filled with so many holes. If you listen to this, and if you listen to this with a discerning ear, not all impressed with his accent, not all impressed with him being able to say, you know what, you know, 8 to the 10th power of the 4,000th million quadrillionth thing. If you just listen to it, he'll say stuff like, you know what, at this point, we don't really understand why the stuff, he's talking about matter. It's all about the bang. Everything that you see, the Darwinists believe that it happened. It was all in the bang. But here's the thing. I'm telling you the truth. Look it up. The dot, you know how big the dot was? Like a granule of sand. Except like way smaller than that. Look it up. But the problem is there's too much heat for there to be any matter, but it's any electrons at that point. None. So you have something in this little thing that because it's so hot, there's nothing in there, according to them. Well, how do you explain that? They have all these theories. There's about 8 of them that will explain that. None of them provable. None of them scientific. None of them factual. But you and I sit there and go, oh, yeah. Now listen. If you listen to this guy, it's unbelievable. But here's what I'm going to say. Why are they doing all this? True story. They built this thing over in Europe. It's called the Helium Colander. And what they do is they just built it maybe 5-10 years ago. And it throws the atoms together. Why did they? And they spend billions of dollars just to turn this thing on. I think it costs like $1 million every half an hour just to create the energy, just because they're using so much electricity. It's crazy. Why would they do that? Here's why. Because they wanted to see, true story, they wanted to see, they're trying to mimic what happened in the Big Bang. Spend billions of dollars. Here's what they found out. True story. Here's what they found out. That the colander is a trillion times too small. A trillion times too small. And he says, we can't ever figure it out because we can't build something. We would have to build something, and we can't build it on Earth because it would just like disintegrate the whole Earth. Okay, here's all I'm saying. At one point in time when he says we have to throw physics out the window, at what point in time do we throw them out the window? You know, I'm just asking, at what point in time do we stand up and say the emperor has no clothes? Well, Pastor, why would they do that? Here's why. Because it takes humility. It takes humility to say, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. That's why. Let me just tell you what. Their theories are way less scientific than, what do they call it, intelligent design.
way less scientific. Well, all the scientists say that intelligent design is unscientific. I know they do. You know why? Because if they stand up and say, we ought to at least look at intelligent design, they'll be fired. They'll be fired. That's the truth. What is my point? Here's my point. Everybody's not in the family of God. Does God love everybody? Yeah, the Bible says that the sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. Amen? God loves everybody. God, whosoever will. Well, who can accept Jesus? Whoever will. Whoever wants to. Whoever will walk in humility and raise their hand and say, God, I need help. Come in my life. Well, I don't believe that. You can believe whatever you want to believe. But at this church, we value them even though they don't believe. And let me tell you why. Because God values them. Amen. Did God love you before you loved him? When you were in your sin and kept on just mocking him and ignoring him and doing what you wanted, did God throw his hands up in the air and say, man, I'll tell you what, I'm giving up on you. No, he continued to love you. He sent his son to die for you. And because of that, we need to recognize, God, help us when we start to get a self-righteous attitude, when we start to get an attitude, well, you know what, these people are stupid. These people are, you know what, this is not, you know, and we get an attitude of condemning them. No. It's not your place. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Our point, our place as a family of God is just to love people who aren't in our family. Some of you we loved when you weren't in our family, when you weren't in the family of God. You know what? And we looked the other way, and we acted like we didn't see it. And we saw it, but we just said, who cares? We remember when we were like that. And so freely we have received, and so freely we give you grace, and freely we give you mercy, and freely we give. And what are we doing? We're believing that at some point in time, you're going to turn. And we're believing for all those people. How many know there's more people sleeping in bed today than that are in church today? Well, what are we doing? Do we condemn them? No, we say, thank God that they're coming, you know what, to this church. Thank God that they're coming. That's why we're out there on Saturday saying, we'll pray for you. Because we believe that there are people who are driving and they're in pain. And they all they need is just an opportunity to come to Christ. Amen. Amen. That's what grounds us. Everything we do is based on this foundation. And the foundation is that people that are not in the family of God, we better care about them because God cared about them. Does this make sense? Why do we do it? We do it because he did that for us. Freely you have received, freely good. Why do we do it? We do it because we recognize, oh my goodness. How many of your life got better when you accepted Christ in your heart? See, we recognize that. And we say, oh, their life could be better. Yeah, but they're rejecting Christ. I know they are. And we did too. So let's be merciful of them. Let's not be judgmental. Let's be merciful to them. Is this making sense? Let's be gracious to them. How is that expressed? Well, expressed in a lot of ways. And I'll go over this quickly. It says, how is our love for these people that are not in the family of God, how is that expressed? Well, it's expressed in the grounds. It's expressed in the grounds. What are the grounds? Where you're at. You know, our grass is green. Our lawn is mowed. Our church is painted. Amen? We spend a lot of time, and it takes a lot of energy and effort and deliberateness. Here, I'm just asking you. You ever gone in your backyard and you haven't been out there for like 8 years? Wow. Hello? And you go out there and you're like, oh, Man, I got to do some work around here. Yeah, you do. Because that's, speaking of illogical, because that's physics. Things don't, if you, having let something go, they don't go into more excellence. They go into more decay, chaos. That's a law. That's a physiological law. That's a law of physics. Well, but yeah, but that's not evolution. I know. They throw physics right out the window. They throw it out the window. They say, we know that's how it is, but, I don't know. No. It's just weird. Hello, right? It's just weird, dude. It's weird. All I'm saying is that when you come up here, when you drive up here and you see the excellence of this place, it's, listen, that is on purpose. We're very purposeful. Oh, that's not very spiritual. Pastor, you should care about their spirits more. Hello? Okay, let me just, I've told you this before, but I'll tell you again. We're in a bus, a big bus, big old honking bus. Love using that word honking. That's a 80s term. Okay, big old honking bus. And I mean, it's, and we're all in the bus, and we're going to this conference. And in this conference, I was only able to get so many reservations at Motel 6 and so many reservations at the Hilton. Okay, and 50 of you can stay at Motel 6, and 50 of you can stay at the Hilton. And the bus is right, rolls up right between the Hilton and Motel 6. And I get up before everybody gets out of the bus, and I go, hey, guys, 50-50, first come, first serve. You know what? Just choose where you want. You choose. How many are happy that you're in the back of the bus? How many of you that are in the front of the bus are just like walking like this? You're not walking like that. You start off, because we're all Christian, right? So you start walking like this. But then you're walking like this. Right? Right? Listen. And you're Christian people. Can we minister to somebody excellence with our property and just people driving by and just saying, man, that place looks as good as Disneyland looks. Can we? I'm telling you, we can, and we do. It's one of the ways we express our love to lost people is our grounds look nice. And that's on purpose, and we know how important that is. Number two, you know what? Just smiling at people. Smiling is our... Come on, everybody. Finally, there's our what?
Favorite.
It's our favorite. Smiling is our favorite. Just to smile at somebody. You know what I mean? Just say, hey, man, good to see you. Right? And just a smile can make people feel good. Is that right? Amen. Our commitment to teaching God's word. Our commitment to saying, look, guys. We said it today. Our commitment to say, unapologetically, you need Jesus. Yeah, but people get offended. I know. But if I understand what's going to fix people, and if I'm really committed to them, then it's not about me. It's about telling people the truth. Will everybody accept? No, not everybody's going to accept. There'll be those people who are going to reject God. There's going to be people who, matter of fact, the Bible says that the wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many go by it. I'm not looking for that. But I'm not looking to get a bunch of people here, you know what, to have some, you know what, it's better to just be positive than negative. That's for sure. But understand, I'm not up here preaching just a positive message. Don't misunderstand me. Listen to me real carefully here. Because a positive message, you know what, isn't necessarily... the Bible, Paul doesn't say, you know what, I'm not ashamed of a positive message. For a positive message is the power to wholeness. He doesn't say that. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of wholeness. The gospel, this is the answer. Again, it's better to be positive than negative. But we're not just teaching a positive message. We're teaching the gospel. Which, I'm just saying, there is no more positive message than the gospel. Why? Because it works. But our commitment to people that aren't in the family of God is to teach them that they need Jesus. Yeah, but, you know, you shouldn't be so out there. Listen, we had somebody come in from an organization, and they were just gracious, but they noticed some things about our church, and that's what they were here for. They were writing, I didn't know this, but they were writing, you know what, all kinds, they were kind of critiquing the church. And I read it the other day, and I love what they said. They said, you know what, Pastor, your church does a real good job in not compromising the gospel, but letting people know that everybody is loved. That's what I want to do. I want everybody to feel loved. But if feeling loved means that we throw the righteous standard out the window, then we're messed up. We're messed up. And let me just say this. Listen to me very carefully. Be real slow to judge. Be real slow to judge. Oh, this pastor's doing that. This pastor's doing that. This pastor's doing that. There, you know what I mean? Different pastors have different styles. Amen. And I know people who have got, I know pastors, I know one pastor in particular that's getting thousands of people saved every single week. And he gets so much criticism from the body of Christ. And he's getting people saved, thousands of people saved every single week. And people get upset because he's not like, you know, yeah, but they're supposed to open up their Bible and they're supposed to show you in this, you know, turn to Matthew. Well, how do you know they're not throwing that up on the screen and you don't even see it? I'm smarty pants. That's a fun word, huh, Mickey? I'm just saying, you know what? And we get all, you know, big. No. Listen. Paul, I like what Paul says. Paul says, even if they're preaching the gospel with the wrong motive, as long as people are getting saved. Yeah, put that in your purse and swing it. That was the Apostle Paul who said that. You know what? And we're criticizing. I'm just saying, haven't led somebody to Christ in 8 years. Are we together here? Just back off. Amen. Amen. We're committed to teaching the Word of God. The grounds, we smile, we're committed to teaching the Word of God. We're committed to kids and youth. We're committed to kids and youth. What's that about? Well, we know a bunch of people who aren't in the family of God, they have kids and they have youth and they might not even come to church. But they're going to drive by, they're going to see something, they're going to say, oh, you know what, life, you know what, you know, the world is messed up. Maybe I'll get my kids involved in church. That'll probably help them. Amen. Yes. Amen. And then their kids are going to get saved. Yeah. That's a huge commitment on our part. You know, I said the other day, I need to retract this, because we had these, on Wednesday we put these big soccer nets up. And so I said, you know what, I was talking about our commitment to kids and youth, and I said, you know what, if you come Wednesday and you get ahead, you get hit in the head with a soccer ball, I don't care. You know what I mean? I need to retract that. I care. I do care. Amen. Thank you. I just don't care enough to take those soccer nets away. Okay. Now I'll give you a big chance to say amen to that. Okay. No. You missed it, but I'll give you another chance. I just don't care enough to take those soccer nets away. Amen. Okay. And I certainly, please, I sometimes I get flamboyant. Sometimes I get passionate. You know what? And on the way home, I recognize, you know what? You said you don't care. Somebody gets hit in the head with a soccer ball. Oh, my goodness. I repent. I totally care. I just know that we just really care about the kids and the youth of this church. You know what? And just so you know, the kids that are playing, we don't have any junior hires even. They're, you know, 6 and 7 and 8 year olds. And ultimately, I really don't think that anybody's going to be really, really, really hurt if, you know, soccer ball hits you in the head. Not from an 8 year old. And if it does, I'll lay my hands on you and you will recover. Amen? All right. But my point is, not to offend anybody, but my point is to say, kids are really important here. And it really makes a difference in us reaching out to the lost, to people who aren't in the family of God. Okay. I'm almost done. Our commitment to serve others. You have people who come and they're serving you. You know what? They have hope vests on. They help you find a seat. They help you, you know what, find a kid's room. You have people that you can drop your kids off that are your kids are being tended to and taken care of and taught the word of God. What is all this about? It's about our love, not just for saved people, not for people who are just in the family of God, but we recognize there's all kinds of people that are coming to this church and they're not in the family of God. Well, we need to be gracious to them. We need to have these services that, you know what, somebody is welcome you into our parking lot. These are all critical. Yeah. And they all are, what's they're all about? They're all about saying, we care about you. We care about you. We care about you. And last, our love for each other. Yeah. Our love for each other. How many would like our church to continue to grow? Raise your hand if you'd like our church to continue to grow. Okay. Here's what we had who spoke this summer? We had Landon come and speak this summer to the kids, and here's what Landon said. He told the youth this. He said, "You guys want your youth group to explode." And by the way, our youth group is growing phenomenally right now. Amen. And can I tell you why? Because we're committed to people who aren't in the family of God. You're committed to them. All the work that we've done, we came over here and did the South Sanctuary, and we're like, to some extent, we're like, oh, we're done. And then we're like, done? Oh, my goodness. Because it was exhausting. It was like, oh, you know, we needed to breathe. We needed to go, you know, it's like, you know, we just needed some rest. We couldn't rest. Why? Because we dislocated, we evicted the youth. This used to be their space. So we've done a ton of work, and we've had people, and you've given, and you cared. And, you know, the other day, I had some pastors come in, and they just kept on going, you know, looking at our youth hangout. Have you guys been over there? You need to see it. It's impressive. You know, and they just kept on saying, this is amazing. This is amazing. This is such a cool space. Yeah, it is. Why did we design that cool space? You know what I mean? Because the people who are not in the family of God, they matter to us. You know what? And we can just throw it all together. I remember when it was way back in the day, but I remember one time, but it's been our heart for a long time, and we don't know how to do any of this stuff. We're not artists, you know what I mean? We don't know how to put a giraffe on a wall that makes it cool for the kids. We don't know how to do that, but we know how to color. So what did we do? Well, the Holy Spirit gave us a plan. Just get a, what are those called? Those they're old time. You just get a projector. Throw a stencil on there of a giraffe, put it up there, get some of this chalk paint, no chalk, just some of this chalk, colored chalk, and color. Amen. We colored a giraffe. And then what did we do? Then we colored a monkey. And then we colored a tree. And then we colored a whatever, you know, all that stuff. And then what do? And then we just shellacked it with some kind of clear coat. Well, when we were doing that, somebody in the church said, because it, that was a big coloring event. And when we were doing it, they said, well, why? Because we were taking, it took such an enormous amount of work. And they said, well, we thought, Pastor, when you said we were going to paint the kids' room, we just thought we were going to paint the kids' room. In other words, we just thought it was going to be a day project. No, because let me tell you what. If you just slop some paint up there, yeah, I mean, you know, it's better. But people know the difference. When they come over to the youth rec center, you know what? They know the difference. They're like, you know what? This is like better than any Starbucks I've been in here. Hello? See, we're saying something. We're saying, you know, and we can talk about it. You matter. But it's a whole different thing when we are showing them that they matter. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Now it's not just a bunch of talk. Now it's, hey, look at what we've designed for you guys. Does this make sense? So, getting back to Landon. Landon said, you want to grow your youth group? Just start to be in love with each other. Because let me tell you about people. People at work have all the strife in the world. Most people at home have more strife than they want. And then they get on the freeway, and you know what? And you get all kinds of funky people waving to you, but they're not, but not like this. Right? And listen, and when they come into a church, when they come, and I can't speak on other churches, but when they come to Hope, here's what I want them to sense. That we, not in a superficial way, you know what I mean? You know, love you. if that's how you say love you, I'm not ripping on you, okay? Not in a superficial way, but in a real way that you're just sincerely in love with people in this church. And let me tell you what, all the lights, all the cool music, all the stuff that we have, and we don't apologize for any of this stuff. This stuff matters because people matter. And they know the difference between excellence and sloppy. Having said that, you know what will reach them more than any, you know what will grow this church more than anything else? You making a decision that you are not going to be offended at silly things. Okay. I got to tell one more story. I've told this story before, but it's one of my favorite stories, so I'm going to tell you the story. I'm over in the North Sanctuary, just pastored here just maybe a year, and I recognize we just had one service. It was at 10 o'clock. We're usually out by 10:15. At 10:15, we're out. We're saying bye-bye. At 10:18, nobody's in the parking lot. Everybody's gone. Home. And I recognize this is not cool. There's no fellowship. Now, we didn't have a lot of people, but all the few people that we had, when service was over, they left. I mean, they skedaddled quickly. Skedaddle, that's a fun word, too. They skedaddled quickly. Yeah, they skedaddled. Smarty pants. Anyway, okay. So they skedaddled quickly. But here's what I'm saying. I recognize this is messed up. We've got to give them some reason to stay a little bit. So I like ice cream. And so I went over to, it was way back in the day, went over to Lucky's, got one of those big tubs of ice cream, and you know what? I'm like, oh, praise God, in Jesus' name, amen, you are dismissed. Ran out the side, you know what? Grabbed my ice cream, you know what? Had my scooper, boom, and I had cones, boom, 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 and I started, you know, so when you came out, I would say, hey, would you like an ice cream cone?
right? Yeah. And how many are going to stay for a free ice cream cone? How many know it takes a long time to, you know? And what's happening? See, I'm hoping somebody goes, you know, hey, Mickey, what's going on? And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. But somebody recognized, some gracious man recognized that pastor is the one who's running out, grabbing the thing, boom, 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 boom. He was gracious. He said, hey, pastor, can I do that for you? Okay. But he's a guy. He's a dude. He don't know what he's doing. He's not, you know what I mean? So he scoops up the ice cream, and as a guy would do, he's trying to get it off. And he can't get it off. So what does he do? He takes his finger. Well, that's what it's for. What is this for? This is, I don't know if you knew this. This is the get the ice cream off the scooper finger. That's the tool. And so you just hit it, and sure enough, how many know this is an effective tool? And so, okay, you say, what's your point? Here's your point. You know what? I have some lady, you know what, comes up to me after, you know what I mean? Well, I just don't think it's right that, I can't believe he touched my ice cream with his finger. Like, pastor, you don't seem very compassionate to that lady. I'm not. Yeah, you know what? You don't care if people get hit in the head. You know what? You're okay. Whoa. Okay. Listen. Things. Not the hit in the head. Things are important, and other things are not important. And let me tell you what. I will go to a church all day long if I sense the love going on in their church, and I don't care if when they scoop me ice cream they hit it with their finger. Now, before you criticize me, before you criticize me, I went out and I bought a whole box of those things, and I told this man, I said, hey, thanks for your help. Could you do me a huge favor? Could you put the gloves on before you do that thing again? Okay. Well, why were you upset? I was upset. I just think this way. You know what? Why? At least you could say it nicely. Why wouldn't you say, hey, pastor, I really appreciate having the free ice cream. I really appreciate what's happening. The people are socializing now. You know what? I even say, hey, I really like the flavor. Say something. But I didn't hear any of that. Here's what I'm saying, and I know this is funny, but let me get real serious with you. One of the most important things that we do as a church is we're not easily offended. You know what? And you know what? And I'm telling you what, we need to walk forward in this and make sure that as a church, why? Because let me tell you what, that will show the love of Christ. People will want to go to your church. You know what? If you got people who are in love with each other. And over the course of time, you're going to have reasons to be offended at me. I'm going to have reason to be offended at you. But I'm saying in the totality of eternity, God doesn't care, you're watching, that much. Did I make my point? Yeah. All right. We care about people who aren't in the family of God, and we are going to continue to care about people in the family of God. And I want us corporately to care about the people in the family of God, that aren't in the family of God. Father, help us to be a church where we care about people that aren't in our family. Help us to love people. Help us to not be irritated with people that are unrighteous. But help us to be compassionate to people who are unrighteous. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.